time to take stock in the international break. We discuss our key learnings from the season so far. We look ahead to AFCON and the additional transfers we're going to get. Plus, we plan our chips. As always, I've got a fair few left. It's an international break, but that doesn't mean we get a holiday. No, the Premier League and FPL keep us working hard. Good morning, Jules. Good morning, Sam. We're back. Jules, you ready to think about FPL, or is your head in every other international
game? Yeah, playoffs and everything. But I prepared for the show nicely, and game week 11, 32 points. Was a little bit painful because, again, I left a lot of points on my bench with Voltemade and O'Reilly. Gehi not playing at all for Crystal Palace really wound me up on at the weekend. And it was a tough game for everyone. But at least I said that Neto was my differential. I brought him in my team and he returned. So I was at least happy with that. But yeah, it was not a good week.
Sam, I guess for you, good week? It was a good week, wasn't it?
No. I brought in Gehi this week. And
okay,
then...
I was looking at the scores. No, I was using you as a benchmark, Jules, and Sam finished above you. So in that way, Sam, it's a good week. You can take small little...
Oh, okay. I'll take some heart from the fact I beat Jules this week. That will make me feel better.
I mean, neither of us have done that much this season, let's be honest, sadly.
No. Do you know what? I was so frustrated this week because I think I was saying to you, I pretty much said everywhere I went last week heading into the game week that one of my big issues was that I didn't have a Crystal Palace defender and it was really hurting me every single week. And so on Friday evening I was like, right, I've had enough, even though I didn't actually think that that derby game between Palace and Brighton is always a bit difficult to call. So I was a bit like, oh, I don't even know if there's going to be a clean sheet, but I've just had enough. I've had enough of the pain of everyone else picking up defensive points from Crystal Palace, so I'll just get one. And I still hadn't really decided who I wanted. And in the end, Gehi was going to price rise on Friday. And I thought, right, I'll just get him. And then I've done it. And yes, I've got to spend a bit more money, but fine. I'll be happier and that'll be fine. So I felt really pleased. So going into this game, I was like, right, I'm really happy. And then I'm standing on the touchline of my son's grassroots game on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. And the team sheet came out and I was like, where is Mark Gehi? And so the pain of not having a Crystal Palace rumbled on, because actually the reason that my arrow is red and not green this week is because I didn't have a Palace defender, because it was green all the way up until the point when Crystal Palace registered that clean sheet and I didn't have him in there. So it was a really frustrating one. But there, alas, we are where we are. We just have to wait for news on him now.
Yeah, for once I wanted Gehi, but I couldn't fit him in my wild card. And obviously I had all the pain of, is Richards going to be fit, when I did kind of initially bring him in. For once, actually having Richards over Gehi was a really nice move. I am actually the only person that finished above average on this pod, but it was such a low average. If you're listening to this and didn't get above, what was the average? It was 38. Like, it's quite rare really that the average isn't above 40. So two of the three of us didn't get above 40, so don't feel bad if you did. I mean, I got 49 and probably the advantage was having Richards, I guess.
Because he got 8, right?
And yeah, and actually also keeping Sanchez in the end has proven to be okay in the last few weeks. And being honest, I did that because budget was again a kind of a limitation, but I've still not made a transfer since my wildcard actually, which has been quite nice. I mean, I'm not very good at saving transfers. As you know, I do like a minus. So as I've got three transfers, I'm like itching to use them, but I'm going to try and see if I can get to 4. Let's see what happens after the international break. Jules, just a quick word. Your bench is becoming a problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? At least it shows that the squad is good, to be fair.
But you keep putting it in the wrong... But your 11 wasn't good this week.
I know, but you know the worst. I was at the City-Liverpool game on Sunday for 5 Live, and it's even worse. When you watch on television, if you get really cross, you can turn the TV off or the radio off, and then you forget about the Premier League, FPL, etc. When you're working in the stadium and see Nico O'Reilly having the game that he had and 11 points, when you see Erling Haaland missing a penalty, okay, yeah, he scored, but he still missed a penalty, which was painful. And you could feel almost with the whole stadium, City fans were not happy because he missed the penalty, but also all the FPL owners who captained him in that Etihad were like me, was like, come on, please. Semenyo had missed the penalty too. So yeah, Voltemade with 5 on the bench, O'Reilly with 11. So that's 16 between them. The week before was 18. The week before was 20. So
it's half the points of your actual 11, Jules.
Yeah, it's crazy.
From them two.
But to be fair, I didn't think it's the same. I didn't really have any regrets. I didn't fancy Voltemade for this. Okay, he got 5 points. But O'Reilly didn't think he would do that well. I didn't think that Liverpool would be so poor. So it's not like if I even hesitated on starting O'Reilly at the weekend. So I've got less of regrets, but it's still gutting to see the point on your bench.
Yeah, it always feels a little bit better, doesn't it? If you haven't like had that quandary, if you exactly. know, look, in no circumstances are I going to start Nico O'Reilly, you kind of make a little bit more
yeah,
peace
I was
with
at
it.
Peace with it, you know, but yeah, exactly. Mm. But I was still a bit gutted.
Okay, then. So it finished with Jules is still top of our mini league by quite some distance. I often say our scores, but I don't say the difference in points in mini league. So let's just take stock a little bit. Jules is on 666 points, 32 points for the game week. I'm on 608 points. I mean, I clawed back 17 points, but I'm still, what, 58 points behind you?
58!
Jules, it's been bigger than that points this season. So I'm going to take that. I got 49 points. Ian's still in our mini league. He got 592. So he's 14 points behind me. He got 45 points this week. Sam's on 584. She got 37 points this week. So I'm doing these live maths again. You're 22 points behind me, Sam, and you are 66 plus 16, 70, 82. Lot. 82 points behind Jules. So, I mean, it's not going to finish that way. So I'm not going to get too excited. But yeah, I think it's also a good point though, isn't it, Sam? Like a lot of people are having difficult starts to this season. Like yeah. you are not the only person I mentioned. I'm meaning you if you're listening to this. Like a lot of people are. The fact that it's such a low game week, it's just been quite an unpredictable bit of a slog, hasn't it, at times?
Yeah, because the players haven't necessarily had consistency. Anybody has been able to beat anybody in the league. We've seen, you know, even when we look at the weekend, like I think we were all thinking, oh, guaranteed Arsenal clean sheets. We've all doubled up there. When that doesn't happen, then you know that the game week average is going to be lower because everybody's so heavily invested. We've seen teams losing to other teams that on paper you wouldn't expect them to. We've seen shock results across the board. And so that inconsistency and what's making the Premier League so fun this year has made FPL really hard because it's so difficult to predict what's going to happen in these fixtures. Plus, I think, you know, the changes in the chips and the addition of DEFCON has fundamentally changed the game because at this point in the season, most managers wouldn't have used, they might have used the wild card, but they wouldn't have used any of their other chips is the reality. So when you're looking across the leagues, and I spend a lot of time looking at what the people ahead of me have done in terms of chips, and most of, with the exception of you two, because you're roughly doing what I'm doing, in most of my other mini leagues, the people that are ahead of me have used all of their chips. And that obviously has an impact if you play them correctly. So It's been a really interesting season learning about the new players that you want to target because of DEFCON, because of the sudden decline of the premium assets, with the exception of Erling Haaland. It's made for a really fascinating season so far, and therefore a difficult one.
That's what we needed. We needed a positive spin, a fascinating yes. season, whereas I described it as a slog. I don't mean it's a slog. I do still enjoy it. It's just, and actually I've enjoyed the last few weeks because I feel like my wild card is kind of paying off, even though I had so many doubts and question marks over it. Jules, just quickly, what's your rank at the minute? Come on, do you not know?
It's 588,000.
Yes, I was going to say top 600k.
Yeah, so maybe I'm going to have to come away from all of my instincts and start kind of cheering you on a bit because it's good for the podcast, isn't it? If one of us is doing
thank
well.
You. Yes, please.
Yeah,
do,
no,
Kelly.
I haven't decided on that. I'm thinking.
Tell me how amazing I am.
Let's check in on the FPL Pod Mini League because loads of you guys are doing better than us. Congratulations to Barry Roberts because he's remained at the top of the FPL Pod Mini League. He only got 37 points. Proof again that everyone's having a tough year. Ali Ghulami went from sixth to second, just 3 points behind Barry. A nice little title race at the top. He actually sold Jokeres this week and brought back Joao Pedro. That obviously paid off. Gary Huyn is in third. Carbucci Yassin is 5 points behind Barry as well in first and two behind Ali in second. Now, nine of the top 10 managers captained Haaland. The only exception is a manager going by the name, the greatest of all time, who captained Saka. That means he went from 37th to 10th. A reminder, the FPL Pod Mini League code is XY6XPL. So if you're not in there then already, do join us. Okay, then somehow we're only 11 game weeks into the season. For me, it feels a lot longer because the first few of those were particularly tough. But I think it's always good in an international break to take stock, have a little look. And this period of games, Jules, feels important because, of course, when it comes to December, we're going to have AFCON thrown into the mix as well.
Yeah, and we need to get ready for that. For AFCON, obviously, the players that you might lose, the likes of, I don't know, Mbomo and Ismail Assar and Iliman Ndiaye and those kind of guys who could leave quite early. But for now, it's true that we already have a good idea of what the season has been, what's been happening, the trends in this season, the DEFCONs that Sam mentioned earlier, the players returning in midfield, not maybe having to spend too much money on superstars because they're not really returning for you. Erling Haaland at the top of the game and at the top of his game too this season so far. So all of that we'd had to manage. And like Sam said, it's been really fascinating, but we've learned a lot. So I think it feels like this is the last international break of the year. There's obviously one more in the season come March. So we've got plenty of time for that. But of 2025, this is the last one. And I think we should be ready to crack on after this international break, because now you know what's good, you know what's not so good, you know what works and what doesn't really work in FPL so far.
Okay, Sam, what are your main takeaway points? Because I know you like to really take stock in the international break. What are the big things that you're kind of, you've learned, so to speak?
I think actually for me, normally the fixtures are a key thing. And I spend a lot of time looking at the fixture tickers and thinking about the blocks of fixtures where players look like they're going to go on a bit of a run and do well. But actually this season, that hasn't really been the thing. It's been more about the form of the players and the form of the teams, because the teams that have been in good form have been the ones to invest in. And, you know, if you think back to the early part of the season, a lot of the reason why we didn't invest in Arsenal is because they had a really horrible start. The games weren't very nice and we were like, oh, maybe there's not so many clean sheets. But actually what we saw is a continuation of Arsenal's defensive solidity and playing really, really well. So a lot of us missed out on a lot of points early on because we had this plan for Arsenal a bit later and we didn't do it because of the fixtures. And so for me, that's been a relatively big learning point. And I think it might work the other way around as we head into the next few weeks, because obviously the Liverpool fixtures are absolutely delightful over the coming weeks. But the form and of both Liverpool themselves as well as their key players has been difficult. It's been hard to read. There's been a lack of consistency there from each of them individually. So maybe it's about looking at the fixtures and having them in the back of your mind, but also just the eye test, I think, has been so important this year. What you're seeing on the pitch, the players, the feeling around each of the clubs and investing from that perspective. And I think for me, normally this international break, I'd be going, right, Liverpool's fixtures are swinging, I'm going there. But I don't think I'm going to in the end.
I think maybe that's why Jules has done well this season, because you are more of an eye test manager than a stats manager in a way. You watch a lot of football and you kind of see and you use the information there. I mean, sometimes it fails spectacularly, but it does mean that sometimes you get on players before we should. I also think it's important that the teams, there's not been the consistency. And I wonder if this season, Jules, we've also gone, in the past, we would have always targeted teams that were newly promoted, but it's a different Premier League, isn't it? In terms of particularly Sunderland, the way they're performing, they're outperforming the regular Premier League teams. So we're not just targeting players and teams that are playing the newly promoted sides.
Yeah, you're right. I think the worst teams in the league have been Wolves and West Ham and Forest, who've changed managers already, three times now, the third manager in with Sean Dyche. So you're right. Before, we might have tend to look at who was facing those promoted sides and think, okay, there's a win there, or there's a clean sheet there, or there's this, there's that. Now it's very different. We said it earlier, it's a more competitive season so far. Whether you think the level is great and you think the football is fantastic, okay, maybe not so much, but certainly in terms of competitiveness of who can beat who at any time, any game, I think it's pretty much there. Whether they're, you know, top teams or weaker sides, it doesn't matter so much, which makes our life a bit more difficult completely to pick the right team, to pick the right players, as I said earlier, to pick the right bench too. I find it quite difficult. And same when you use your free transfers, your wild cards, a bit of money that you've left in the bank, I find it sometimes quite difficult to go the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. Sam, DEFCON, I don't want to talk about it too much, because I feel like if, like, right now someone wrote down the words that I say the most in my days and in life, DEFCON feels like it's like on the way up. It feels like I talk about DEFCON so often, and particularly for you as a fantasy content creator, it's topical, isn't it? But are we going over the top, or is it still really important?
I think actually the answer is yes to both of those two things. So when you look at the top scoring players, they often haven't actually got a lot of DEFCON points. Obviously, Haaland hasn't got any. Gabriel has 8, but then Semenya's got 2, Timber's not got any, Rice has got 6. So they're not like huge numbers. They're not having a massive impact on where they're sitting in the overall rankings. When you look at the top scoring defenders, though, despite Timber and Calafiori not having any in second and fourth, Gehi's third as the top scoring defender. He's got 10. Munoz has got 6. Sinesi's got 18. Van de Ven's got 2. Keane has 10. And Lacroix has 12. So most of the top scoring defenders have returned DEFCON, and most of them have got a good number of them. But in order to be in that list of the top scoring defenders, they also have to be doing something else. DEFCON isn't enough on its own to give them the top scoring ranking. So, for example, Van de Ven, he's got 3 goals and 4 clean sheets this season. Timber's got 2 goals, 2 assists and 6 clean sheets this season. Calafiori's got a goal and assist and 7 clean sheets. So DEFCON is important. And it's particularly important when you're picking your cheaper defenders. But I think what we're seeing is we also have to look at what else are they doing? Are they still getting the clean sheets? It doesn't replace them because it's limited to 2. So because they can only get those additional 2 points, it's basically meant that we've seen a change in the floor for some managers. So for example, Sinesi always feels like rather than starting on 2, he's starting on 4. And then it's just how high does the ceiling go after that? Can he get a clean sheet? Can he get an assist? Can he get something else that goes on top? So I think it's worth looking at, but it's also important to note that DEFCON, when you look at the top scoring defenders in the game right now, they're getting some DEFCON points, yes. But the important thing is they're getting the additional stuff, the more important stuff that's worth more points to us as FPL managers.
Are we all in agreement that our formation thoughts as a result have completely gone out the window, Jules? I feel weird now if I don't start 4 at the back.
Yeah, I think so too. We've said that in previous shows as well. It's like the back four seems the most obvious system that you should use, whether it's 4-4-2 if you feel that you've got 4 strong midfielders, 4-3-3 if you want to play your 3 forwards. It doesn't matter so much, but there's so many points to get from your defensive players. And even on top of your back four, a lot of us have at least 1 or even 2 defensive midfielders, Caicedo, Rice, Gravenberch, Elliot Anderson, whoever you want in the mix, they're also there because they're just racking up points with DEFCONs, which has been massive for them, but also because those players have been very good in the attacking half of the pitch, really, for their teams. And because the superstar midfielders are not really returning like they either usually do or like we're hoping them to do or wish them to do.
Yeah, I agree. Any other learning, Sam? I kind of was just trying to do a tick off of this is what we know, this is what we know, this is what we know. Checkpoints before we move on to chat in depth.
I think leading on from what Jules just said, I think this season, expensive doesn't necessarily mean worth it. So when you look at, again, we'll go back to the top 20 high scoring players in the game. Of those who started the season at 10 million plus, Haaland's obviously first, Salah's 20th, and none of the others make it in there. Now, obviously, that's partly due to injury with the likes of Isak and Saka and Palmer. But when you look at the rest of the top 20, their current pricing is 6.6, 8.1, 6.1, 6.9, 5.1, 5.8, 6.1, then 8.5, 7.5, 6.3. It goes on and on and on. Like there's a 4.8 in there. There's another couple of 5.0s. So these are not expensive players. So when we started the season, like I sat down last night with this list of 20 and was like, I could easily make a squad of 15 with all of these players in it. And it wouldn't be an issue in terms of the budget. Like it's easy to do. And that's what's really fascinating to me because normally we sit here and we're scraping around trying to find money and we're kind of going, oh, I need to afford Salah and I want to also afford Haaland and or maybe I need to squeeze a Saka in there and of course I need a double Arsenal defence. So how am I going to do that? What's the cheapest route? But this season, because we have players like Michael Keane who are appearing in the top 20 at 4.5, because there are the Gravenberches and the Declan Rices and the Caicedos that Jules was just talking about, we're not having to fight the budget quite as much as we normally are. And I think that's a really important thing because sometimes, and even this week, Kells Wright is a bit of an example of that with my Crystal Palace investment. Like I was sat there for ages going, well, do I just get Richards and save the money? And actually, over the course of the season, maybe having Gehi's the right thing. But in that moment last week, going for the cheaper one would have been the better option. So I think it's just a bit of a different learning experience for this year.
Okay, so key takeaway points. DEFCON is as important as our brains keep telling us it is. Don't necessarily target the newly promoted teams. Not always best to go for the most expensive players. Just have a back four most weeks. And that's about it. Maybe also midfielders have been a bit underwhelming too. Key takeaway points up until this point. Sam, just quickly, a lot of people will potentially be looking at this international break for wildcard. If people have still got it, would you recommend now?
Yeah, absolutely. Because
good time, yeah.
It is a really good time because I do think that this international break, if you've been able to hold it this long, it feels like the one where we have the most information and the most knowledge. Like when people were playing him in the first international break, you kind of, what, 3 or 4 weeks into the season, you've got some information. But as we've been saying during this podcast, they're not, we haven't had consistency, especially by that point. The second international break, we had a bit more information. This one, 11 game weeks worth of knowledge feels like quite a lot when you're trying to invest in a wildcard team. And I think importantly, it's far enough away from AFCON that you can still make advantage, or take advantage rather, of the transfers that they're going to be given around AFCON, and that not have an impact. Because if you use the wildcard too late and too close to that, it will impact the strategy that you're using in terms of your free transfers. So it's something to kind of consider. I think probably now is the moment if you haven't hit it already.
Be honest, Jules, AFCON gets underway on the 21st of December, which, just mark your diaries early, that's my birthday. Have you even thought about it at this point?
For FPL or for real life?
Well, either.
A real life, yeah, I'm in. I'm absolutely in. There's games on Christmas Eve. There's game on New Year's Eve. It's going to be amazing. For FPL,
lucky Mrs. Laurent.
Family is not getting Christmas.
She can't wait. In terms of FPL, not so much, I won't lie. But I think it's important we talk about it, because there's a lot of things that can happen. Again, depending on how many African players you own that will leave your squad at some point and you have to replace them. But it's quite interesting to see, for example, because we don't know yet who's going to join their national team and when, and exactly when, what kind of game week they can still play in, 16, 17, all of that. So I think we're a month away, and pretty much, let's say, and I think it's time to think about it now, especially if you've got a few of those players who will go to AFCON.
Yeah, there's 45 Premier League players who play for teams who are at AFCON, Sam. Probably only 15 key players in terms of FPL, though, aren't they? So who are the headlines, do you think, that we need to be aware of?
I mean, obviously Salah's going, and for most people that will be a key. I mean, we'd expect him to go with Egypt anyway. In most seasons, you'd be going, right, that's the big talking point. But actually, it feels like it's not really so much now, because we've all de-invested, or a lot of us have de-invested in Salah anyway. But when you look across the rest of them, there's quite a few. Elamin Ndai has been really popular with FPL managers. You might have to deal with him. I think the Brentford bandwagon is starting to climb in terms of people's investment there. So you've got Dango Altara, who's going to probably be off as well. Brian Mbeumo, he's looking so important in FPL right now. And a lot of managers, I think he's going to be the biggest talking point right now, because heading into game week 12, managers will be looking at investing in Manchester United, because the form is picking up, the fixtures are picking up. It looks like it's kind of all coming together a little bit for them right now. But do you go there? Because ahead of game week 16, you're going to potentially have issues to deal with. Is it easier just to go for Bruno Fernandes and pay that, 0.5 extra? But you know you're not going to lose him in a few weeks' time. So I think it's those conversations that make these interesting. It's not just about the player itself that you're going to lose, but also the impact on their team.
Yeah, unfortunately, Brian Mbeumo coming into form is a bit of a tricky one, isn't he? Because he's popular with FPL managers, Jules. But would you avoid knowing that?
So game week 17 is played on the 20th of December, Saturday 20th, and Sunday 21st of December. And Monday 22nd, by the way. And this is the key one here, because depending on when your country starts in AFCON, from the 21st onwards, as we've been saying, some players might be allowed and able to play in game week 17 and then join up with the national team straight after. We've seen many in the past. I remember even Edouard Mendy and Sadio Mane, after Chelsea, Liverpool, Aston Villa, British, taking the same private jet to join up with Senegal for AFCON straight after, but we're allowed to play that last game. If you think about Cameroon, their first game is on Christmas Eve on the 24th against Gabon. So you would think that United playing the 21st of December, and Mbeumo might be allowed to play that game away at Aston Villa and then fly directly from Birmingham to Morocco, where AFCON will be hosted this season. 21st to 24th, that should be okay. If you have Iwobi or Olaina, for example, just to talk about Nigeria, their first game is on the 23rd of December. Fulham play Forest on the 22nd of December in that game week 17. I can guarantee you that Alex Iwobi, unfortunately for him, for Fulham, and for any FPL manager who own him at that time, he won't be able to play that game week 17. He will have to leave before that to join up with Nigeria. So it depends. It's worth really checking. I can tell you, for example, Liverpool and City both play on the 20th of December on that game week 17. Egypt Egypt, start on the 22nd, AFCON against Zimbabwe. So you think Mo Salah might be able to play on the 20th, but even that, I think he's a little bit touchy, and I'm not sure if he'll be allowed to play away at Spurs, by the way, for Liverpool on that. Again, week 17, weekend of the 20th and 21st of December. So it really depends when the league play, when those players are playing in the Premier League and when their first AFCON game is, because for some of them, game week 16, might be the last time they play in the Premier League, and they will miss out on 17 and then the rest 18, 19, 20, etc.
We've also seen it go the other way around though, haven't we, Jules? Because like last time AFCON was played, we've seen players unexpectedly go early to join up with their international teams, and then that's caused issues for us as FPL managers. So I think Jules is right. There is a good chance that some of those players stay and we see them in game week 17. But there's also the opportunity, I think, sometimes that these players just disappear before we're expecting them to, because suddenly that's when the international teams have called up and the club agrees to it. So
yeah,
it's just something
week.
We go.
Yeah, usually it's a week for them to join up. So 16, really, I think, should be okay-ish. But yeah, something to keep checking on.
Okay, let me run you through. We've mentioned loads of dates, loads of game weeks, loads of actual dates. So 21st to 31st of December is the group stage. So that's game week 17, 18, 19. 3rd to the 6th of January is the last 16, and that coincides with game week 20 and 21. The 9th and 10th of January is when the quarterfinals will be played. That coincides with the FA Cup third round. The 14th of January is the semis. That's one of the midweek game weeks. The 17th is the third and fourth place playoff. That's game week 22. And the 18th will be on the final, which also falls in game week 22. Now, Sam, all of these dates, it's funny because I think a lot of people at this stage of the calendar year are going, oh no, I can't think about Christmas. Oh no, it's still too early. And now throw in AFCON as well if you're an FPL manager that celebrates Christmas. Good luck with all of this planning that you've got to do. But are we getting too ahead of ourselves, and do we have to really bear it in mind with our transfers? Because there is still a few weeks to go between them. You don't want to miss the points of the players that are performing well that are going to go.
You're 100% right. It's such a juggle, isn't it? Because your part of you is kind of thinking, well, I need to plan for this, and I've got however many free transfers. Like, you're in a different spot. You've got 3 free transfers, loving life, like it's all good. I've got 1. So with my 1 free transfer, I need to think about, 1, are my players fit and available, and have I got issues with Mark Gahey and everything else? But also, if I want to go for Manchester United and I bring in Mbeumo, am I doing the right thing there? Because am I just causing myself a further transfer down the line? Am I better off to just stick with a player that, like Bruno, who I know is not going to leave and disappear off to AFCON because he obviously can't play in that because he's not African? Is that a better option? But then am I also doing myself out of 4 weeks worth of potential points? Because I think the better option, sadly, is the one that's disappearing off. So I do think we have to be really mindful of that. And it's why you need a really good strategy, almost that starts now, that says, what am I planning to do? When those AFCON free transfers come in, how am I planning to use them? If I still have chips, what am I planning to do with them? Because in reality, for example, if Jules is right and Mbeumo stays, he plays in game week 17 and then he disappears off, but they go out in the group stages, he possibly only misses 2 matches for Manchester United, and then he's back for game weeks 20 and 21. So it's one of those things that with these international tournaments that appear in FPL, you have to kind of plan as if they're not going to be around at all for any of this period of time, unless you want to see what happens to them in the opening round. If he plays in 17, great. You can watch what happens in the first game of the group stage, maybe use a free hit around that as well. And then maybe it's only one of the games that he misses. So it's all these things going on in my head. My head's a bit of a mess, Kels, as you can tell, because AFCON's already started to have an impact on my thinking with my transfers.
Yeah, we're also, though, which is quite nice, going to have our transfers topped up to 5 in game week 16. So that's really important to remember, isn't it, Jules? So, Sam, just to confirm.
Yeah, how does it work?
I want to check. I think I understand this. So say I used all of my transfers, that you just get, like, when we go in game week. So it's game week 16 and I've used my 5 free transfers or 4 free transfers the week before. It will then automatically go back up to 5.
Yes. So in game week 15, if you have 5 free transfers and you use all 5 free transfers, when the deadline passes for game week 15 and the game week 16 game week reloads, rather than just seeing 1 free transfer, you'll see 5 free transfers again. If you have if you roll into or come out of or go into game week 16, so game week 15 comes in, but you still have two free transfers in the bank. When game week 16's game loads, you'll have five. So you
you need to use all of them. So you want to go into game week 16 with no free transfers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes, because if you don't, if I take three transfers into game week 16, I'm only getting the benefit of two additional ones that are going to be added.
You're losing three free transfers essentially, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. So you need to make sure that you use up all of your transfers heading into game week 16 so that when the deadline 16 So basically, going for game week 15, use everything you've got. Don't leave any free transfers in the bank, even if that means I'm fed up with my second goalkeeper and I would never normally change that. That is the time to do it, because then you get the benefit of having your squad with five new changes that you can make as a result of AFCON.
Which means you can even target single game if you want, because you will have those extra five. So if you fancy... I don't know. I don't have all the fixture list with me now. But if you see there's one game that you really fancy and you fancy that player in that game because they're, I don't know, at home on a good run, just make that one, even that one transfer, one free transfer, and then you get five more the week after that, and you can get him out of your team and replace him by somebody else who again has a good run of fixtures or something like that. So that's when you have to play really, really well.
And that's why you need to think about it in advance, right? Because actually we're going into 12 now. So we're talking about, we need to have done this in 15. So for the, like going into 15, we need to have used up our transfers so that when the game loads for 16, we have the five. So realistically, that means we've got 12, 13, 14, 15, you've got 4 weeks to make sure that you know what you're doing with your transfers and don't have too many of them that you don't know what you're doing. So I think you're right, Jules. I think it's an opportunity to be a little bit more in the moment with the FPL. You're not having to think 3, 4, 5, 6 game weeks. You get a nice fixture for somebody and you want to go for them as a bit of a pump for 1 week, do it. Because those transfers, you want to make the most of them going out of, or going into 16 rather.
So basically it's 12, 13, 14, 15. So we've got four deadlines where you need to use all your transfers.
Yeah. And of course you'll get an extra one as each one passes. So you do want to be using them.
Oh gosh, I thought I was being really smart banking them.
Well, you are in some ways, because one of your strategies, Kels, could easily be that going into game week 15, you go, I'm going to sort of mini wild card and use the five that I've rolled in. And then you'll set your team up so well. And then every week, just use one and keep it at five. Because then what you can do coming out of AFCON is that you can have another little mini wild card in January, which might then delay your need to use your actual wild card until we get through into the latter part of the season, which could work massively in your favour.
For game week 15, for example, Man City are home to Sunderland, Newcastle are home to Burnley, Liverpool go to Leeds. You also have, if you fancy a Man United player and Brian Mbeumo, and that might be his last game or not, but they're away at Wolves on Monday Night Football as well. So game week 15 might be fun to almost, it's like a mini free hit as well. If you can have five players that you want in there, for that, you just go all in and spend all your transfers on an Mbeumo, on another City attacker, on a Liverpool attacker, on something like that, especially on Newcastle because of the opponents they have.
Go on, Sam. You did a big inhalation of breath. You go.
I was just going to say, Jules makes a valid point that I haven't mentioned yet, is that if you're going to use a free hit or a wild card in this period of time, remember that that's going to stop you using one of your free transfers. So if you're planning to wild card or free hit in game week 15, which some managers might be planning to do, you just need to make sure that you've used your transfers heading into that so that you don't have too many and fail to get the benefit coming out.
So when is the best time to play your free hit? I haven't played the free hit, to be fair. I'd even forgotten about it.
That's a good point, yeah. So I've still got a bench boost.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah, you've got loads. Because we've got to use them, obviously, before Christmas as well. I'm currently planning to free hit in game week 13. Liverpool have great fixture then. I don't really have any Liverpool assets. Well, I don't have any Liverpool assets. It gives me a game week to look at Liverpool and how they play in 12, and then treble up on them for that one. So that I'm kind of looking at it that way. The other option is that I do it in 15, the game week you've just mentioned, Jules, because 15 means I have the ability to target all of those fixtures that you've just mentioned without needing to heavily invest in those players because of what might happen with AFCON and everything else the week after, and the fact that I actually don't necessarily want all of those assets for the game weeks that follow. So 13 and 15, And actually, weirdly, 17 also feel like the odd numbers feel like really good opportunities to use your free hit chip between now and the end of the season. Now and the end of this window anyway.
Mm. When would you suggest, if a manager still had a bench boost, Sam? I guess he just...
Who's
still got their bench boost now?
To be fair, like, I'm actually looking at it next week because as it stands, my bench is Mukiele and Xhaka, who've got Fulham away. And Voltimado, who is potentially going to be one of the transfers I get rid of because he's got City, obviously. What I hate, though, is I've got my two goalkeepers playing each other because it's Burnley-Chelsea and Dubravka. I don't know if Dubravka's going to keep a clean sheet against Chelsea, but I look at those two outfield players, in particular with Mukiele and Xhaka, and think potentially there could be some returns there. But also, like, the other reason I've kept these transfers in the bank is because I can, if I want to, potentially tinker with my bench a little bit to make it better, and then also use transfers to do the opposite coming out of it, particularly knowing we've got the AFCON transfers to come. So there has been some planning behind this madness of holding it. I promise.
I think with the bench boost, it actually doesn't... There's not a right answer to that question. And it's really
so
unhelpful.
Team dependent. No, but it's so team dependent, isn't it?
It is. And I think it also depends on what you're planning to do. So if your current strategy is, well, I'm going to save to five transfers. So say this week you don't make one, and then next week you don't make one. So you're going into 14 and you've got five. You could go, right, well, game week 14 will be my bench boost there. And I've got five transfers. I'm just going to build this team for that week. Because actually, you've only got one more deadline after that, and then you're getting the five topped up anyway from AFCON, so you can get rid of anyone you don't want to have. So I think it's very much dependent on what your team looks like. I think if you're looking at your bench already this week and going, there's two players I'd really want to play. One, I don't really like the look of because he's got Man City, but I've got three free transfers and I can change it. And then Dubravka's not really an issue, is he? He might get some save points against Chelsea. So if he gets you three, then actually that's not looking like a terrible thing, particularly if the rest of your bench then do quite well. Like when you look at how my bench did, Dubravka did not do well, but the rest of the bench boost did really well that week. So I think that's key. I think it's more important, Cal, that you work out when you're going to play your triple captain and your free hit, because they feel like more important decisions, and then you use your bench boost in one of the weeks when you're not playing those two transfers.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Lots of planning. I love the new chips. In fact, we've got more of them, but it does mean you have to be a lot more smart with it. Jules, what chips have you got to use by?
The triple captain, which should give game week 13, I think, City at home to Leeds for Haaland, obviously.
Yeah.
And then the free hit that, like Sam said, just looking at the fixtures, 15 could be, I think, a good time to play. And then it's out of my head and I can have all those like free transfers for AFCON to play freely without having to think about the free hit as well.
Sam, your plans? You might have mentioned them, I've forgotten.
I think I might go the opposite way around to Jules. I think I might go free hit 13 and then triple captain 15. I haven't fully decided yet, but 13 and 15 definitely feel like the weeks for me. The reason I think triple captain in 15 is I think it will help me with my transfer strategy rather than having a big chip like the free hit where I can't use a transfer heading into AFCON. So I think that's why I'm going to do it that way around.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. Anyone thinking about game week 12 at this point, or do you want to save it all for next week? Jules, you're not thinking about
it. The only thing is, no, I like the Neto fixture and the Chelsea fixture, obviously, in that game week. And I brought Neto in because they had Wolves and then Burnley in the two fixtures. So I like that, but I'm so tempted by Mbomo. I think he's in great form. I think he's a great player. And United, like Sam said, are clicking at the moment. So I'm thinking about that. But I could wait another week probably and bring Mbomo in.
Sam?
See, I don't see the point in waiting another week because you're a week closer to him leaving. True, if you're going to do it now.
Yeah, but Neto away at Burnley, I fancy him too. Almost as much as Mbomo at home to Everton.
Didn't you only bring in Neto last week as well?
Yeah, but just for that was for 2 weeks. That was the plan anyway. And then to go from Neto to Mbomo... But I could, it depends. If Mbomo at home to Everton, against Everton, sorry, or Neto away at Burnley.
Okay. Sam, what are you thinking about with your team?
Well, I've got issues galore, haven't I? Because obviously, like, I've got to wait and see how all these players come out of international break as well, because that's the other thing, is that most of my team have gone away with their country. So I have to be mindful of watching that and making sure that everyone makes it back in one piece. Nick Pope is my goalkeeper who got conceded and then got substituted with concussion. So I'm assuming that he's going to be back and available for game week 12, but that is something I need to be considering. Plus the fact I don't actually like him for game week 12, because as you just mentioned, Kels, he's got Manchester City. So do I really want to be playing Nick Pope? Could I just make a goalkeeper change? Do I want to spend a transfer, my one transfer, on a goalkeeper change? That feels a bit ropey. Do I just play Dubravka? Don't think I want to do that either. So that's playing out. Gehi is obviously a factor, seeing what happens there. Voltimada to Thiago is something that I'm massively looking at, but I'm put off by Thiago's form away from home, which is another factor for free hitting in game week 13, because Thiago's got a fantastic home fixture that week. Mm. So I could just get him in for the home fixture where he's got incredible form, and then not have to worry about the away fixtures. So I think for me this week will be spent trying to lock down what my chip strategy is going to look like. What would a free hit team look like for 13? And therefore try and work back from that in terms of the players that I think are worth the investment, because Mbomo feels like the one I would like to get to this week as well. But I don't have a clear route to that unless I take Voltimada right down, which would then allow me to come up from Kudus to Mbomo, which I don't hate, by the way. And Kudus, we should have mentioned, is one of those players that's not going to AFCON because his team hasn't qualified. So he's not one that we have to be mindful or worried about. But obviously has missed the last couple of matches for Spurs through injury. So I do think that AFCON is now starting to play a big role in the decisions that I'm making. And I think the transfer this week will be very much dependent upon if the team make it through in one piece of the internationals.
It's always so scary in the international break, isn't it? There's me showing off about banking my transfers. I better get three injuries and wipe out my three free transfers and can't use my bench boost. That's probably what's going to happen, isn't it? Okay, well, there is no deadline this week, of course, but plenty of football. So do watch it, keep abreast of it all. Jules will keep us up to speed next week, I'm sure. We'll get an international roundup with him. But yeah, don't go too early with your transfers because you might need them. We'll be back next week to look ahead to game week 12. Enjoy the international fixtures and we'll see you again soon. Bye.